The healthcare detective Frank Lalle has written a book for Simon & Schuster about how to get affordable healthcare. Call Your Best Healthcare Now. It's available online, in-store, wherever fine books are sold. Mr. Lalle is also the health correspondent for Parade and the former editor of Money and George magazines. He joins us when he can. And we're in the midst of a new case, the healthcare detective on the case his own, Oh My Aching Back, On My Bed or Chair of Pain, Home from the Hospital, I believe. Hi, Frank. How are you?
Well, I'm feeling fine, actually. I mean, under the circumstances, I'm in my my office in the city.
Okay.
I can get in a car, but it's they don't want me driving because I'm still on painkillers, and they don't want me in a car for very long because my back is stiffened up. So I'm here in the city. But I'm in my office, and the doors are open to my little private patio up on the 10th floor, and it's quite a pleasant day, little breeze. So I'm doing okay. I'm certainly on the mend from the pain. I have less pain than I did from the operation now about 10 days ago. And I'm on this morning. I did not take OxyContin, I'll have you know. I took Tylenol instead. Now, I took 450 milligrams just to take the edge off, but that's a step in the right direction for me. So, but we've talked about this. We'll talk about it more today. Since the operation, I have seen how easy it is to go from a legitimate prescription for drugs, opioids, to handle the legitimate pain that you have, and then slip to dependency, and even into addiction. It's just a hop, skip, and a jump. You could do it.
It's not even a stretch. Now, remember, before your surgery, you were already, and this is what's particularly compelling here, prior to the surgery, because the pain was so bad, you were already taking more than you should.
That's exactly right. And my doctors warned me about this. They said, look, you're already doing it. And the more opioids you take, the more your brain pain receptors shut down. So instead of being controlling your pain with your natural painkillers, your endorphins, they get overwhelmed by the opioids. And the more you take, the more you crave. And then all of a sudden you're dependent on it, at worst case, you're addicted. So now how do you know you're addicted? Well, are you calling your doctor at 2 a.m, trying to, beg for more drugs or samples? Are you trying to scam your doctors? Are you going to 2 or 3 different doctors in 2 or 3 different pharmacies to get more? Are you literally stealing to do it? When I did some detective work on this, Jill, and it's genuinely scary. There are way too many people doing things like that. I mean, people dying from opioid addiction in this country has now hit around 60,000 people a year. That's twice as many as car accidents. You fill the Rose Bowl, all those people die. It's now the leading cause of deaths for people under 50 years of age. The leading cause of deaths for people 50 and younger. Is opioid addiction. New Jersey did some statistics. This blew my mind. They compared opioid addiction and deaths from opioid addiction to deaths from a number of other ways of getting really sick, okay? So more people are dying from opioid addiction than from the flu, Alzheimer's, homicides, suicides, car accidents, breast cancer, prostate cancer, colon cancer and cervical cancer combined. And how about this statistic? 40% of those deaths involve prescription drugs. So there's your straight line. You got legitimate pain with a real prescription for it that you need at the time, and you have too much of the opioids. It overwhelms your system, and the next thing you know, you're addicted.
And I believe there has been a slight cutback on what is being prescribed, or no?
Oh, yeah. Look, I used to walk into my pain. I've had stenosis for years. Okay, what's stenosis? It is a calcium buildup. It's arthritis, essentially, but it's a calcium buildup on the inside of the spinal canal, right? So that sounds like, you know, hey, if enough calcium builds up there, it's going to press up against your spinal nerves, and that's going to cause pain. Now, you can handle it, as I did for years, with occasional operations, but mainly it with epidurals and with some OxyContin or Vicodin or whatever the hell they were handing out those days. Well, they used to hand it out like candy. I mean, literally. I mean, I'd be on maybe one Oxy a week or two Oxy a week, something like that. They'd hand me 90 for the month.
For the month. No, I know
the month,
because...
And then tell me to come back next month. They give me another 90. I mean, they were just handing this. I was on fentanyl. They put me on fentanyl, and that was a mistake. I mean, fentanyl drove down my heartbeat to the point where they put in a pacemaker. I'm not sure I'd need a pacemaker today if they had not put me on that early fentanyl. So this stuff was, they didn't really understand the full effect of it. They were getting talked into it by the drug salesman, and it sure worked. I mean, fentanyl took all the pain away, but it also slowed my heartbeat down to the point where I was fainting. So I'm bouncing around, you know, my apartment, falling on the floor from fentanyl, pain-free, except when I hit the bottom of the stairs. No, I literally didn't go down the stairs. Well, I did, but it wasn't fentanyl's fault.
But even so, just but having that worry on top of other worries Marshall came back from the hospital for special surgery once with you know, more tramadol than anyone, knew what to do with. And the problem with that is, and this is just all part of the selling job, is there was a time at which tramadol was considered non-narcotic.
Yeah, I mean, you get so much of it, you start to use it recreationally. But as you point out, that's not being done anymore. It's being monitored very carefully. If anything, they're handing out less than you should get for under legitimate pain. So, but I'll give you my progression on this leading up to this operation I had, which, you know, was in three places with a fusion and all that. I was taking 2 or 3 10 milligram Oxy a week. And that was essentially... I could walk. I was walking 6-7 miles a day, you know, building up my resistance after I came off the very successful clinical trial that I had last summer. So, you know, I thought that was a good trade-off, 2 or 3 a week, and I could walk 5-6 miles. Then I got these spasms suddenly on March 27th. I'd never had them before in my life. They hit me in my lower back like an electric shock down my thighs and my hamstrings to the point where I had no muscle, and I would literally collapse. I'd fall like a rag doll. So at that point I was taking about 4 a day. Now the pain from the hospital, that got me up to about 6 a day, but we're talking about a fusion that, you know, with a 2-inch incision and a cage an inch and a half that they twisted around my spine. So yeah, okay, give me some of that Oxy, please. So I was at 6 a day. Now, you can be at 6 a day for a very short period of time, but it's got to be really short, and you got to be thinking about weaning yourself off, and then you've got to really do it. So a week after surgery, I was still on 6, and the way I do it was 2 in the morning, 10 each, so okay, and then 2 at about 4:30 in the afternoon, and then 2 more at about 11 o'clock when I went to bed. Now, as I'm sitting here today, I'm going from 2 Oxy to 1 Tylenol, the 450 milligram kind of Tylenol. So this morning, instead of taking my Oxy, I took my Tylenol, and I will try to get all the way to 4:30 in the afternoon. And at 4:30, I'll really examine whether or not I need that Oxy or not. And even if I do need the Oxy, by the time I go to sleep, I will take the Tylenol. So I won't take 2 in a row. Now, can I get the goal here is to get off it completely. Can I get off the opiates completely? Now, I think I can do it, okay? But I also know, and I think this is important to know, stronger people than me have failed. I have friends who've, you know, they've needed gateway drugs. So you can go from oxy to methadone, for example. But you can then get addicted to methadone. I mean, the idea is to get off all of these drugs. Now, sometimes you do need something like methadone to get you through. Fine. Okay, but the goal, you got to keep the goal in mind. The goal in mind is get off oxy, get off opiates. I started thinking about it the last couple of days because I knew we were going to talk about it today. What advice, what concrete advice do I have? I don't have a hell of a lot except this. Don't try to do it alone. I mean, we have had friends who've been addicted one way or another. And the ones who've been successful are the ones who've gone and gotten support. They've gotten it from their families. They've gotten it from church. They've gotten it from AA, any combination of those, and more. And the people who have been not successful at all and with the people we worry about and pray for, they're the people who try to do it alone. It's very difficult to do, and it is from my experience and things we've seen in our family and among our friends, this is not anything you want to try all by yourself. So, and there's one more place you can turn it, from family, church, or AA kind of groups, faith groups. You can also turn to state and local government. You can call, if there's someone in your family facing these problems, you can call right now, actually. You can call the State Department of Health. There are hotlines for addiction. I've looked it up in, you know, Connecticut and Massachusetts and New York. In Connecticut, for example, just call this number. If you're in Connecticut, call 800-563-4086. That's the 24/7 access number. If you're in the other two states, call Department of Health or look it up online and there'll be a similar number. The state has assistance beds. They're available for inpatient, and they have programs available outpatient. They're there for you. And let's not make any mistake about this. More than half of these beds are going to people who are addicted to heroin and opioids addiction. And these are your neighbors. You're not alone in this. I looked it up. There are the numbers. There, you know, 20 people in Sharon, you know, 36 people in Salisbury, 96 people in Litchfield, 856 people in Torrington. Right now, I have reached out to the state and have gotten help, whether they have insurance and whether they don't have insurance. So that's my advice. Don't be afraid. If there's someone in your family who needs this help, don't be afraid to make the phone call. Don't be ashamed to make the phone call. It is so easy to become dependent and then addicted. And you start out with something as legitimate as a severe back pain. So just ask for help. And the deepest warning I can give you, the stuff that you can buy on the street, I mean, the worst of it, and I'm not making this up, the worst of it tranquilizes elephants. I mean, it's 5,000 times more powerful than heroin. This is a form of the fentanyl that I got way back. This is called carfentanil. That's the worst of it out there. A few grains of it, like a few grains of salt, can kill you. then you're pain free. Don't play around with addiction. Reach out for help. If it's nothing more than calling someone in your family and saying, hey, I'm starting to worry about this. What should we do together? Or how can I get some help on? That can be the most important phone call you ever make in your life. So that's my advice, Jill. I mean, it's been a real The wake-up experience to me, I didn't realize how quickly you could become dependent on this stuff, but it can happen in a blink.
Thank you, Frank, the healthcare detective and the health correspondent for Parade. Send your questions or concerns about finding affordable healthcare to healthcaredetective@robinhoodradio.com. Frank will try to address as many of your questions as he can on future broadcasts. And look for his book, Your Best Healthcare Now, available online in stores.